Access number 30632, Mr. John Langford, Reel 2. Now, anything happened on the farm at Strathaven before the war starts? Or was it just working on the farm?
I just worked, threw the tractor, milked the cows. No, I was treated very nicely, very respectfully.
Now tell me about the day war, you know, it's the old thing, the day war broke out.
I was happened to be on the bus, number 30 bus from Strathaven to Glasgow on the Sunday morning. And lightning struck at the time that Churchill declared war on Germany. It was a Sunday, 11:30, 12 o'clock, something like that.
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock. I was on that bus and I thought that something must have happened. I got to Glasgow, and of course there were tears running down everybody's cheeks. The people that I knew what would happen. And
how did you feel about the war? You were, you know, you were about you were 18.
It was all imagination. I thought it was, as my father told us, from about the First World War. I had simply no idea. I mean, 18, 17-year-old boys were not as bright then as they are today. It was a different way of life.
And what did you think would happen, you know?
I had no idea.
You just didn't know.
I know. I got back to Strathaven, to the farm, at 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And Mr. Warner told me that the police had called. And will I go to Strathaven to register as an enemy alien?
Now, what did that mean? What did you have to actually do to register?
Well, I had no idea to go and tell the police I was there, because automatically I had restrictions. I wasn't allowed to move around. The first thing that happened was I wasn't allowed to drive the car back. I had to leave the car and phone Mr. Warner to come and pick me up, because aliens were not allowed to drive. And I was treated like every other German national. Or Italian, for that matter.
So, what details did they take? What was the registration process? How detailed was it? Or was it just you gave them a name and told them where you were?
I gave a name, and I told them that I had volunteered for the cavalry in the British Army.
Oh, you haven't told me, though. When did you do that?
During my time in Glasgow.
So, we'll come back to that. Yeah. So, you told them that. And
they told me immediately that there was no... Where could I get into the cavalry, because Britain didn't train cavalry regiments. And I should go to Alien, MAPC, Military Alien Pioneer Corps.
This is right at the start of the war?
No, I was interned for about 4 months.
Yeah, so we're still at Strathaven, you're registering as an
enemy. Oh, I see, yeah, right. Yes, well, he said, go to Ilfracombe. I've got a ticket for you.
I'm surprised that he told you that in September 1939.
Well, I got by train to Ilfracombe, not on my own. There were dozens of other similar...
But when was the 4 months of being interned, then?
Well, I suppose we were guarded. We were not allowed to move around.
Now, we just thought, I mean, you didn't go straight off to Ilfracombe then.
No.
So, you basically were registered as an enemy alien. And then, right. Were you allowed to continue working on the farm?
No.
So what did you, went back to Glasgow, did you?
Well, I got 30 shillings a week support. And I had to move out of this bungalow, because they had taken in other relatives. There were seven of them staying in a two-bedroom bungalow. And there were more elderly families and children.
So what were you billing? This was just lodgings, was it?
Well, these were the people who took care of me when I landed.
The lodge. You moved out of there, you said?
Yes, because there was no room for me.
Into lodgings?
Yes.
And what were the lodgings like?
Her name was Mrs. Reuter, R-E-U-T-E-R, who I paid 23 shillings for dinner, bed and breakfast. And the rest went on bus fares to a hostel in Hill Street, Glasgow.
And what were you doing there?
Flirting with the nurses in the hospital.
Were you meant to be working or?
No, there was no.
You just did that for amusement,
I couldn't move around, so we had to find our amusement at home.
Now, so you couldn't work then?
No, you weren't allowed to work. Because of security reasons, I suppose. Nobody knew that we were Jews. We were treated as our enemies.
Tell me, in what way?
I'll get it for you. I have a book here, which Helen Fry published recently. Have you seen it? I'm quoted in there once or twice. We were not allowed to do anything. But that was really, Helen Fry's book covers the army life only. We were interned, I don't know the dates.
We're still, because you were interned in June 1940. So we got, it's almost 6 months before, well, nine months before that. What were you doing? Just spending those 9 months doing nothing in Glasgow then?
I got myself a job as a driver to an elderly gentleman who wasn't allowed to drive anymore. And he paid me 15 shillings for the day. And he said I was a very nice fellow, but I should go and learn to drive because I frightened him too much.
So you were a chauffeur?
Yes, amongst other things. I don't know what they were.
Yeah, so you took a variety of odd jobs, sort of things. Did you notice that people were treating you differently in Glasgow? Because you'd had a very warm reception. And
well, I was fortunate. I met a Scottish family by the name of Herbertson. Very intelligent people, very knowledgeable, and he was the president of the Conservative Party. And I was taken to their club one day where Mr. Eden visited it. And I had the pleasure and the honor to meet Mr. Eden. I never met any antisemitic people. Felt sorry for us.
You said they didn't know you were Jewish.
No, I don't suppose so. I mean, we didn't have any Staff David on anything that we had in Germany.
What I mean is, you said that people saw you as enemies.
Well, that happened when I was in uniform more so than.
Right, okay. So anything else about that period of 9 months when you were back in Glasgow?
It wasn't quite 9 months. I've lost a few months somewhere.
Well, you said you went back there after in September.
After Straven, yes.
That's September.
Back to Glasgow.
And then you called up, you were interned in June 1940.
May have been July, for, I don't know.
That would be.
I know I was released.
That would be longer.
I know I was released from internment camp on the 23rd of September, 41, I think. The day I joined up the army, I think it was 1941 or two.
40. According to your notes here.
Yeah, they were probably right, yes.
You were only in internment camp 2 months.
At Donaldson School in Edinburgh was the first internment camp.
And now, tell me about their intern. I think we'll have to go on to that. You were interned in June 1940.
Yeah.
Now, what happened when you were interned?
We were locked up behind iron gates.
No, we're missing. What happened? I mean, how were you interned? Did the police arrive at your door? Did they send a letter to you?
Somebody arrived. I don't know whether it was police or the party. I don't know who it was. We had to wait to get into Donaldson internment camp because the Italians were there before us. The Italians were also treated as enemy aliens. And Glasgow had a lot of Italian ice makers. And
so this was round about, well, it may have been May then.
I don't think so.
June then.
I'll try and find more proof of that. Maybe that book gives it to you, I don't know.
Well, it says I was interned as an enemy alien in June 40 and spent 2 months in Oban. But Oban's not Donaldson, is it? So it may have been before that.
No. The band was in the army. May I have a look? I've read it and I dictated this. I should know better.
When you said Donaldson was in Glasgow, you mean it was in Edinburgh?
The Donaldson was in Edinburgh.
Yeah, you said on the tape, you said it was in Glasgow.
Oh, beg your pardon.
No, it's not a problem. So you were interned there either late May or early June.
Yes.
1940.
Yeah.
And what do you remember about your time at Donaldson internment camp? You weren't there long, were you?
No, we just made new friends. You know, there were suddenly hundreds of us. And there was the biggest mix of professionals you'd ever seen, from professors to taxi drivers to farmhands. There was even one First World War U-boat commander.
And were they all Jewish, or was there a mixture?
Well, when they say all Jews, as was 95% were. There were some non-Jewish internees. They were interned because they were Germans and perhaps couldn't justify their escape to England.
Were there any actual Nazis there, or Nazi sympathisers, as far as you know?
There were no Nazi activities here, no.
What were conditions like at the Donaldson internment? It was a school, wasn't it?
It was a school.
What's it like?
Slept on the floor on palliasses, I suppose.
But not particularly. How long were you there for, then? You don't know.
Long enough to learn how to make porridge, because I was always hungry, and someone suggested I should go and work in the kitchen, which I did. And there was a big porridge thing. I made porridge for all the internees.
But anything happened while you were there that you remember? So what happened next then? Is it then you go to
then
a band?
Then we were sent to Oban. That was specially built for that purpose. It was a camp.
Did it have a name? Just Oban.
Not Litchfield. It did have a name, but this. I wonder if.
Oban's up the Isle of Man, is it?
No, where is it?
On
the west coast of Scotland.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes, because of this. Yeah. Now, what happened when you were there? What were conditions like at Oban?
All right, conditions didn't worry us. We were young, we were tough, we took it all as a joke.
Were you in huts or billets or what?
School classrooms, classes.
That was a school as well?
Which one?
We're talking about Oban.
No, Oban was a field that was barricaded off, and the camp surrounded by wires and military guards.
So were you in huts or tents?
We were treated the same way as prisoners of war.
So you were in huts?
Yes.
And anything happened while you were at Oban?
Not that I remember, no.
So it was just 3 months of dullness.
That's right. Then we had visitors from the Home Office, I think, came and checked up on us to find out who we really were. And as I say, there was a man who was von Papen. Von Papen was a foreign secretary in Germany, and he was a secretary to that man. He wasn't Jewish, but why he wasn't turned, I also don't know. And there was a chap called von Herhager, who was also not Jewish, had an English wife, changed his name for the Herhager to his wife's maiden name, which was Walton. And I believe for a number of years afterward, I had the architect's office in Tottenham Court Road, but I never met him.
Now, you're basically just waiting there again.
Yes.
You go from there to join the Pioneer.
There was another camp, Oban, and
not in this list. There isn't, but
not Litchfield.
You go to Ilfracombe when you were the Pioneer.
That's the beginning of the Pioneer.
Now, you tried to join the army before. But tell me what had happened with that. How had you tried? You tried to join the cavalry. Tell me about that.
Well, when I registered in Strathaven, and the police officer was very sympathetic. He told me to go to Ilfracombe to report to the Pioneer Corps. And I said, no, I want to go to the cavalry. And he said, go to Ilfracombe and they will make arrangements for you to be transferred.
That can't be. That's a year early, you see. I think there's a confusion.
The outbreak of war was when?
September 1939. And you go to Ilfracombe in September 1940.
So where are we?
You're in Oban.
Hmm?
You're in Oban.
Maybe it was Oban. That I don't know. I was definitely sent from Oban by train to Ilfracombe.
Yeah, that makes sense. But
I don't know the
when
date.
Did you try to join the army before then?
When I was once being interviewed as an enemy alien somewhere.
So, all right, that's you're not quite sure.
I'm not quite sure.
And they told you that only the Pioneer Corps?
That's right, it was the only option for us to join.
And how did you feel about that?
Again, it was part of the British Army. We didn't mind that.
So you went to join the Pioneer Corps on 27th of September 1940, it says here. Now, what happened when you got to Ilfracombe?
Ilfracombe, that's the funny side of that. I got to Ilfracombe on a Sunday, and sitting where you are today was a man who gave me my first uniform. You've heard of Harry Rosny, I think he said. He was a sort of quartermaster, dished out all the uniforms.
And what?
I arrived and was taken into the Osborne Hotel at Ilfracombe, where there was nothing there for us, no beds, no uniforms, but all they had was injections, tetanus and whatever, and they shot them into us like a dartboard. And next morning I was very ill.
Oh, it had an effect?
High temperature, and, you know, that was the first shock treatment I received, I think. And I came down for breakfast, queued, and somebody shouted at me. There was a lieutenant, somebody behind the pots where they dished out the food, and bowls, you know, the metal bowls. And he shouted at me, and I didn't understand what he said. And polite as I was, I said, no, thank you. And he made me confess that it was an insult and put me on a charge. And next morning I was marched in front of Marquis, Lord Reading was in charge of the Pioneer Corps then. And he asked the charge to be read out. And somebody read the charge out, and I couldn't help myself, I laughed. This Sergeant Hill, who was a very well-known chef in Vienna, said that he asked me, Weisselet. And I didn't understand Weisselet, my English wasn't that good. And Lord Reading said to me, will you explain what you meant by Weisselet? Well, I said, we're nearly finished with the queue. Well, here he comes at the end and asks him, Weisselet. And he said, no, thank you, that's an insult. So Lord Reading took me into his private office of the Osborne Hotel and said, tell me what was meant by Weisselet. I said, do it or no. And there was someone there who could speak better English than I. He said he meant, why are you so late? Weisselet. And I said, no, thank you. And 20-odd years later, you can put it in, we were invited to play bridge at somebody's place in Bournemouth in Hertfordshire. And I was introduced to Mrs. Hill. I said, was your husband a pioneer? Because she said, yes. And I told her the story, but of course we didn't play any bridge that evening. Weisselet. And I became Lord Reading's stick guard to compensate the insult.
Now, do you remember being kitted out by, is it Mr. Rosny?
There was a count, and they just threw any uniform. That happened the next few days.
And what uniform did you get? Do you remember?
Yes, a khaki uniform, boots and gaiters, a khaki shirt and a blouse, a forage cap. We looked like real tin soldiers.
Now, you were living in a hotel billet, were you? You were in
a hotel.
What was it like at Osborne House?
In those days, it was nice. I heard from people who've been there this year, it's bloody awful. So I don't know what it is.
And I presume that you didn't have the normal room. You were all cramped.
Yeah, it was 4-2 room or something. I don't know. It was unimportant, really. We were in a safe town in the west of England, August, September, which was very pleasant, no complaints.
Now, what were you doing any actual training, any drill?
Yes.
Now, how did you take to things like drill?
Well, I was elected after the course to an NCO course.
Now,
that was from Ilfracombe.
So how did you take to drill?
Perfect, all right.
You weren't
left,
any...
left, right, you know.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes, I suppose so. It was something to do.
Could all of them do it? Because some people can't do drill.
Some of our so-called recruits didn't enjoy it because the English military personnel were the roughest in the British Army. No Englishman who joined, who was transferred to the Pioneer Corps, was an honourable soldier. That we didn't know.
What were they like, these instructors?
They were rough.
Rough in what way?
In every possible way, but the British Army. I mean, you were too young to know the British Army. I was just got into it. They were awful.
In what way, though? What
shouting, yelling. No one spoke civil language. It was all shouting and
swearing.
Oh yes, that's how we started speaking English. So that we didn't mind because we didn't know the difference.
Were these NCOs fair about the way they treated you, or were they a bit?
No, the officers were gentlemen. They were only there because of their age. They were not active officers anymore, the captains and lieutenants. I was fortunate I had Major Mackay as my first commanding officer. He was a Canadian.
Now, hang on, isn't that when you join a unit?
Yes, 220.
Yeah, so not yet then. Now, so how about the actual men? How did you get on with it? You know, the other ranks that you were.
Fine.
Were they all? Did you make any friends or?
Yes, still today. Those are alive. You're still very friendly.
And tell us a bit about them. What were they like? Were they from the same
background? We were all in the same boat. We were deprived of our homes, of our families. There was no good crying. There was nothing we could do to alter the situation. But we were happy to be in a free country and once again treated like human beings.
Now, any other training? You got drill. Any other training?
Not at that stage. It came later.
So just drill. No PT, no weapons training, no nothing. Just
weapons training came later in uniform.
No PT? Physical training?
I don't think anybody was fit enough with this instructors. No, I don't think so.
So how long were you at Ilfracombe for?
Months. Well, the first time, starting the 23rd of, the 27th of September, I think was my joining date, probably 6 weeks. That's just pure guess. I can't substantiate it.
Okay, that's fine. No. Gives us an idea. And then where did you go then?
We went from there to be formed into a Pioneer Corps company.
Which one?
I was in number 220.
And where were they based?
They were based in Ilfracombe. And transferred
actually in Ilfracombe.
And were transferred to Avonmouth, which was a danger zone.
Now, when did you go to Avonmouth? Straight away or early on?
No, so 2 or 3 months after I arrived in Ilfracombe.
Two or three months after you joined the company, or 2 or 3 months after you joined the depot?
The army. Or the depot, well, it's the same. The depot and the army were the same, weren't they? Composition of the unit. But we had one major, one or two captains. I think they were called Captain A, administration, captain, something else, lieutenants, sergeant major, who had to be British from the regular army, and the rest were the rookies.
How many of you?
Well, what were we called? A platoon was 30 men, and there were 30 platoons per company. So we were roughly three.
Not 30 platoons per company.
No,
you
30,
don't mean that.
No, 10 companies, 30 men per platoon.
10 platoons, 30 men per company.
300.
Yeah, 300, that's it, yeah.
As a full complement, sometimes a few less and something.
Now, when you went to the Bristol docks in Avonmouth, you were there as a, not as a guard, because you hadn't been weapons trained. Tell me what you were doing.
Well, we were called out as soon as the raids went on, which were regularly. We had to go into the docks and wait for explosions to happen. But I don't think I saw many explosions.
And what were you meant to do?
Put them out.
Using what?
Piano, I suppose.
You didn't have any firefighting equipment?
No, none whatsoever. We had wooden pickaxes and wooden That was our defensive weapon. Now, how can you defend yourself against bombers dropping bombs on petrol stations and things?
Do you remember any incidents while you were doing that work, or were you lucky?
I was lucky. An incident was, this, my daughter's, but that's okay. Incidents were that, as I said, we were in the pub having a drink when one true British soldier came in and said, "Are there any of these German bastards here? I'll kill them," because his parents' house got bombed that night. He wanted to take revenge, which was all understandable, but he took us as British soldiers until he started to speak to us. And then I don't know what happened to him, but no word of our love got hurt.
He didn't attack you then?
No.
But he was talking
only
about
verbally, yes. Which is fully understandable.
Anything else happening while you were, any other incidents in Bristol?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Now, at some point you did an NCO's course, didn't you, at
yes,
Woolacombe? I presume that was while you were there.
No, that was while I was in Ilfracombe. When we came back from Avonmouth, I was promoted to Lance Corporal and sent on an NCO course at Woolacombe.
Now, what do you remember about the NCO's course?
It was on the cliff and we had to do voice training. And I don't think we had live ammunition. We might have had live ammunition, I'm not so sure.
It says you did, yeah.
I think we did have live ammunition.
So this is where you start weapons training
that's
as well.
Right, that's right.
And what do you remember about your training on the
well,
rifle?
I became a Lance Corporal and a corporal in the Pioneer Corps.
But what about your training on weapons? What do you remember about learning on the rifle?
Very little, very little.
Don't remember it so well.
We had Bren guns and Sten guns, which you could buy for 27 sixpence in a toy shop. You know?
What did you think of those two weapons?
Not a lot. Well, I had seen no better. So, yeah.
What about the Bren? Most people like the Bren.
Bren was a very reliable gun, yes.
So it was a Sten you didn't like?
Well, it was a toy. I think it's still being used in some form nowadays.
And after that course, you were promoted to sergeant, were you? That, the course was in 1941,
I was promoted. And where was I promoted? Not in Avonmouth. My next station was Cheltenham and Gloucester.
Now, was that still with 220?
Yes.
So Cheltenham and Gloucester?
Yes.
And what were you doing there?
A War Office camp.
Was it Cheltenham or Gloucester? Which one
no,
was it?
It was the War Office was spread over the border. Cheltenham and Gloucester only 7 miles apart. And this was right on the main road. My wife, as it happened, was in the baths there, but we didn't know each other.
And what were you doing at Cheltenham and Gloucester?
Making a nuisance of ourselves, I suppose. We were just marching up and down. And then I was...
So you had no duties?
I wouldn't say that.
You weren't building anything or making roads?
No, my building career started in Southampton.
But you weren't doing forestry or anything? You can't remember any actual constructive work?
Yes, was. Where were we? In the... Where were we last?
Cheltenham and Gloucester.
Yes. We were... I was then put in charge of a section to camouflage the towns of Cirencester. Which, if you go to Cirencester, there's still one or two shelters there, camouflaged.
So how did you do it? Tell me about that. That's
well,
very interesting.
We were given brushes and, say, paint.
And what sort of things were you doing? Shelters? What else?
Shelters and anything that the enemy could possibly see from the sky, because there were no land forces. They were only visible from the sky.
And that was in Cirencester?
There was Cirencester.
And
so
were you painting them in baffle what they call baffles patterns, or just painting them?
No, we had sheets showing us what shape or form building should take place, and well, nothing spectacular.
It was just painting.
And we also dug holes in the roads to stop German tanks going over it.